Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever, and who never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please turn in your scriptures to the law of the Lord, which we read from Exodus 20. We give our attention to the holy law of God, Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. As we read the law, we are reminded that we offend in every point, but also there are specific ways that the Lord convicts us of sin. Maybe it's coveting, maybe it's disrespecting authority, maybe it's the way we speak and using God's name in vain. So however the law convicts us, may it drive us to Christ, who has fulfilled the law and who forgives sins freely through his own merits. Please turn back to Genesis 17. Genesis 17 is our passage. And this is the passage that, as people who baptize children, infants, that is so foundational for our practice of infant baptism. Genesis 17, I'll start at verse 9. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin, in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael, his son, and all the men of his house born in the house and bought with money of the stranger were circumcised with him. This is the living word of the Lord. We thank him for it. Beloved congregation, the blessing of baptism and being baptized is something that we, most of us, if not all of us, have received, but we don't remember it. Because for the vast majority, if not all of us, it happened when we were infants, just after we were born, where your mom and dad presented you in the presence of the congregation to the Lord for baptism. And you may wonder, why? Why did that have to happen to me? Why do we baptize babies before they really realize anything? What does my baptism mean for me? And what we see in the passage we have read this morning is a large part of the biblical foundation, the reason why we baptize infants, why we have households and not just singular individuals. And the reason is because God has brought children into a bond with himself by causing them to be born among his covenant people. These aren't children just born at large, born out there where there is little, where there is no bowing to the Lord and his authority and living for him. But God has caused children to be born into the church, to believing mommies and daddies. And so, like Abraham was told, you are separate. You are mine. That's what our baptism tells us, you are separate. You are mine. And children, that's one of the first things that you can learn from your baptism, from thinking that you had water sprinkled on your forehead, is that you are not merely just living your life for yourself. You are to be God's for His service. And this is the call of all of us. Not just to have outward baptism, outward water applied, but to truly be God's people inwardly through heart renewal, through believing in Christ. So we're continuing with our series on Abraham and his life. We've come to Genesis 17, 9 through 27. And in these verses, God reveals to Abraham the sign of the covenant, which would be circumcision. And the reason he reveals this at this time is because the announcement of who the promised son would be is absolutely, unmistakably given. Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And this gift of the son that would happen would be attended with the rite, the sacrament of circumcision, to show that this family is God's covenant people. God's people to be devoted to Him. So we're looking at Genesis 17, 9 through 27, under the theme, the sign of the covenant. The sign of the covenant. And we have 3 points. God's direction, a precious promise, and Abraham's obedience. So the sign of the covenant, God's direction, a precious promise, and Abraham's obedience. God again takes the initiative. That means, children, that God makes the first move. He is the one who speaks. God said to Abraham, you will remember that Abraham has had his name changed from Abram, father of great father, to Abraham, father of many nations. And that happened earlier in the chapter. And God has brought his promise again to Abraham, saying, your people, your descendants will be mine, my people, forever. In their generations, for an everlasting covenant. So God has reaffirmed, God has again brought his truth to Abraham, saying, I'm running my purposes through you. And it's not because of how good you are, Abraham, but it's because I have chosen to do this. God took the initiative. God planned it. And so too with the covenant sign. God said to Abraham, we read in verse 9, thou shalt keep my covenant therefore. You are mine. I have chosen you apart, and you are to stay mine, and you are to show that you are mine. You and your seed after you in your generations. Don't think that you can just kind of go your own way, Abraham. Don't think that you can just kind of fit in with others to gain their acceptance. Abraham, you are mine. Abraham, you will show that you are mine. And he continues, this is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. This is at God's direction. Those who would be born to Abraham as sons would have a piece of skin cut off from their private part. Those that would be bought with money as servants in the household would have that piece of skin cut off. Those that would unite themselves with Abraham's family, beholding that God is with him, would have that piece of skin cut off. They would go through this bloody action. It's called the flesh of your foreskin. And circumcision has the idea of cutting. And you can well connect the two main themes of cutting. When God said in verse 2, I will make my covenant between me and thee. The idea there is cut. I will cut my covenant. And we saw it in Genesis 15 at the end of the chapter where Abraham really cut in two the animals. And he put one on one side and he put the other on the other side. And the presence of God passed through. There was cutting. There was bleeding. It was messy. It was gruesome. And here, at God's direction, Abraham is instructed, cut this piece of skin off. Why? Because you are mine. You are not your own. This is my covenant, which you shall keep. And the direction is given from God. The direction is given in line, in agreement with the definition of what a covenant is. It's a cutting that would be the basis for the bond. And the details. He that is 8 days old shall be circumcised, verse 12. Every man child in your generations. When it comes to being 8 days old, before they would even know that they were born to such a family as Abraham's, this action was to take place on their body. Or people bought with money. Slaves, servants of any stranger. Even if it wasn't a natural child, the natural son of Abraham, that male servant had to be circumcised. Those are the details of God's direction. Everybody. Every male child, every male servant, every male person who would be brought into relationship with Abraham had to be circumcised. And notice the warning that attends this direction. And the uncircumcised male child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised. Who say perhaps that it has fallen into disuse or the family doesn't want to go through the pain and the bloodshed of this. Is it okay? That soul shall be cut off from his people. he hath broken my covenant. He has said, I don't want to be in a relationship with God. I don't want to be separated. So this is God's directive. And let me just apply this in a few different ways. The first is that we don't live our lives our own ways, based on how we think we should act, how we think we should conduct ourselves before God. It is our calling to live responsively to God's direction. God, what wilt thou have thy servant to do? The apostle Paul could ask. Speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening, Samuel could say as he heard God calling his name. And this must be our starting point. God, direct me. God, show me what I must do as a child in my calling in the home. God, show me what I must do as a teenager or young adult seeking a calling. As parents, God, show us, lead us. As older ones, God, lead me in the way of truth. Is this your prayer? Your daily prayer, lead me, O thou great Jehovah, through this pilgrim land. But then we see another thing about this direction. Is we see it is not optional. This is not a sign into it that you somehow then become recipients of the covenant privileges. This is mandatory. This is not take it or leave it. This is required. Even such that leaving it undone brings a person being cut off from the people. A shedding of blood, the death penalty. He is broken the covenant. And therefore, we must see just how important our children are to the Lord. They are not generic. They are not somewhere between the world and the church, as if there's this middle place. They are precious. And oh, the responsibilities to not just have them baptized, but far more to have them instructed, brought up in faithfulness to the Lord. It could be argued, oh, this is just outward. This is just an outward thing happening to the boy child of Abraham or children of Abraham that takes place on their body. But remember, it's a token of the covenant. That means it points to something. It doesn't just say, oh, I had something happen to my body, therefore I'm different from others. This is a, what is the meaning of this that happened to me? And the meaning is that God has brought me into covenant relation with himself. It's a token, it's a sign. It's an indicator in an outward way. Of an inward truth of the promise that God is our God and the God of our seed, of our children. So this is not optional. This is mandatory. And parents, we should fall on our faces humbled and say, we have sadly too often been remiss. We have been too allowing of our children to go their own way. And we have been unfaithful ourselves. Cry for mercy. Plead the covenant. That God still is a covenant God to us and to our children. And the last thing I would apply this to is the importance of understanding the connection in our lives. What does this circumcision point us to? It doesn't point us to something that happens to our private part if we're boys. But it points us to the New Testament sign of the covenant, which is baptism. And this is why it's so important to appreciate household baptisms, covenant baptisms. It didn't come out of the blue that so many household baptisms are mentioned. And yes, often there is a connection to faith. We can look at that in those texts. But the point of emphasis here is that God brings households. He brings covenant units to himself. And for us, that is shown in baptism. And for us, that it calls for your and my believing practice. That baptism doesn't save. Nothing done outwardly to us can save us. But it does point us. It does point our children to the promise that God is our God, that God delights to save those who come to Him, confessing their sins and believing His Son. Oh, it's a rich heritage. It's a tremendous blessing. This is God's direction. But secondly, we have a precious promise. We have a precious promise. God had applied the promise to Abraham and to Abraham in the first part of the chapter, and now he addresses Abraham with respect to his wife, Sarai. He speaks in verse 15 to Abraham, "As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be." And he is saying, this wife of yours, this woman that you have married, who you have known as Sarai, Sarah princess, shall her new name be. Abraham, you have been changed to Abraham. Sarai is changed to Sarah, reminding you, Abraham, that she is the princess through whom promised seed, the promised son, would come. It could have been disappointing for Sarai up until now. Hearing all these promises and even devising that plan with Hagar to give her to Abraham so that they could have a child together. Thinking, what about me? I'm old, I'm 90 now, and I have not been able to have a child. There's nothing here for me. Notice what God, the precious promise God gives. First of all, call her princess. Second of all, I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. She will have a child. It will be not a natural process birth of those that are expected to be able to have children in a certain age limit. But here is a supernatural. It would be to the credit of God. That's why they laugh. Shall a child be born to a 100-year-old man and to a 90-year-old lady? It's a supernatural work of God. And then there's the third aspect. She shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. The very same words that were spoken of Abraham in verse 6. I will make nations of thee. She shall be a mother of nations. Kings shall come out of thee. Kings of people shall be of her. What a precious promise. What an endearing truth this would be to Abraham, that he hears, that he has it register. Sarah will be the vessel through whom the promised son would come. God's promises are precious. And it's not just the circumcision action that comes in this chapter, but it's the promise brought to Abraham about his wife and his wife bearing him a son and his wife bearing him a son who would have nations and kings following him. How precious promises of God are. And here we have applications as well. We have, first of all, the reminder of the great riches that are ours. That we are all princes and princesses if we believe. We have great and exceeding precious promises. If we had all the wealth in the world, we could lose it. It could all be squandered away. You can see that in wealthy families, how because the wealth is being used up or spent, there's broken relationships and discontentment and concern. What happens if? But these promises will never be used up. There's always more there for us. That's part of the wonder of the believing life, is you think when you begin the life of faith that you see the fullness of it. And you do see the fullness of it, but as you continue, as you get older and mature, you can see even more that's there in the promise of forgiveness. That's there in the promise of daily strength. That's there in the promise regarding children or grandchildren, that there is a bottomless fullness to the promise of God. What precious promises. And I urge you this morning to plead those promises. If you're a child or a teenager, plead, God, you have brought me into a relationship with yourself in an external way, an outward way, by virtue of me being born where I am and into the church. Oh God, work salvation in my heart. Plead the promises for your children, parents. They're precious. We don't need to wait till they come to a certain age to plead for their salvation and to call them to believe in Jesus. Confess their sins. We can do that now. Older ones, plead the promises that God will not leave you nor forsake you. That He who has brought you thus far will bring you all the way home. Plead that. We have precious promises. And there's a promise for every single one of us here according to our unique needs. Use them. But then too, we have the application of the call to faith. The call to faith. Abraham laughs. Sarah, we read, will laugh. This seems too unrealistic. This seems too remotely impossible. How could it be? And the call is to cast ourselves. Lord, you have spoken. Lord, do it. How shall it be? We may not be able to answer that. But that it will be. We can be wholeheartedly convinced that He who has spoken will do it. We may not understand how God could save our children. We may not understand how God can preserve the church. But we know He is faithful who has spoken. And He will do it. Our call, the burden that's upon us, the requirement that's upon us, is that we believe. That we wholeheartedly rest in what God has said. And then we see the expansiveness. Abraham desires for Ishmael. Oh, let him. Can't he be? He's 13 years old now and I'm 99. Why can't it just be him? And God expands His promise. And He says, Sarah is going to bear thee a son. And here's the son's name, Isaac. Call him Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed, his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. Ishmael will have blessings. But oh, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac is the one. God's promise is precious. It's personal. It's so bottomless. It calls for your faith and mine. And He leaves Abraham with the timing. This time, this set time, next year. There's a time frame. And what's the time frame for the promises we have? Next year? 10 years? 5 years? 25 years? We don't have the time frame. This is what we know. At the time of God's pleasure, He will do it. And we can rest in that. It's not according to our calendars, but His purpose. And we are content with the precious promise. So we've seen God's direction, the directive He gave You've seen the precious promise that Sarah would have the son, and that the son's name would be Isaac. And lastly, we see Abraham's obedience. Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said. If we've learned anything about Abraham, we know, of course, that he's not perfect. But at the same time, Abraham sought to obey. He strived to implement what God directed him to do. Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised. 13 years after Ishmael had been born. Probably some 20 years after the Lord had first appeared to him. He was circumcised. And Ishmael, his son, was circumcised at 13. And all the men were circumcised of the household. He obeyed. And this obedience doesn't guarantee salvation. For all we know about Ishmael, sadly, he was an unsaved man, a rugged man. A man of the field, a man of conflict. We'll see him more later. Let us not rest in our outward baptism as if that saves us. It doesn't. Let us not rest in any work of ours for salvation. This is not obedience in order to earn. This is obedience in order to, as God called him, walk before God and be blameless. Is that the way you are striving to adorn your baptism? To walk before God, to be blameless. Circumcision doesn't save. Baptism doesn't save. Christ saves. He saves freely, graciously. But then we have, what a momentous occasion this was. To circumcise that very day. And this circumcision would have a meaning to Abraham and to his family beyond just the bloody ceremony. He could speak about the removal of sin. Abraham could speak, as we read in Deuteronomy 10, verse 16, "Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart. Children, don't walk in your sins. Children, don't delight in sin. It leads to death. It needs to be cut off. You are God's child. We are God's people." Is that the way we live? Seeking to cut off sin? Abraham could also speak in that day of separation from the world, from the ungodly clans around him. We are distinct. God has covenanted with Sarah and with me. Abraham could teach them that he is our God and we are his people. And that is why this action is being done. It's not just to inflict pain. Not just to shed blood. But it's an indication outwardly that we are not included with the mass of humanity in rebellion. We are in covenant to God. this action of obedience could show consecration to God. Be the Lord's. What it would have been to hear Abraham instructing his servants, serve me, yes, but most of all, let us all serve the Lord. Is that how you approach your work? That you are consecrated to the Lord? That you serve ultimately a greater master than your boss? Oh, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with singing, for He is our God, our covenant God. And lastly, this act of obedience is a call for new hearts. It's a call to be cut off from our old nature, from the pattern of sin. It's a call to put on the new man, which is being renewed. If you are not saved by grace through faith in Christ, your baptism, every covenant blessing you have, will be held against you. God has said, I will be this person's God. If we say we want to go our own way, oh, what will it be to be cut off? Cut off. Not merely from an outward way of life, but from any hope of blessing from the Lord forever. That will be torment. So, dear ones, the sign of the covenant points us to our need for Christ. Believe on Him. Find life in Him. And serve Him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we ask Thee for mercy. We see it in ourselves and in our children. The inclination to do our own thing and go our own way. And too often we give in. We do not live with Thy presence seriously enough in front of our eyes. We do not live with Thy claim upon our lives seriously enough. God, be merciful to us as a congregation. We so often are remiss in valuing our children and instructing them in the ways of the Lord, and pleading Thy promise that they would be Thy people going forward, saved by Thy mercy and grace. Bring change, O God, according to Thy sovereign will. Gather in covenant, baptized people, maybe that haven't worshiped with us in years. Oh, that Thou will cause them to see that life is given by Thee and held to account by Thee. And keep us from going our own way. Lord, we need to be hedged in. We need to be walled in from casting ourselves headlong into perdition. Oh, we are unfaithful. But we pray that Thou wilt give us change in patterns, change in action, change in heart, to follow Thee, and to receive Thy blessings. Be with us in this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please receive God's blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.